This is Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Just before the break, we heard about the relationships that exist between the African-American, Hispanic, and white communities in Milwaukee. These relationships exist in microcosm within Milwaukee's LGBT community, but with the added complex layer of gay-straight relations mixed in. Brenda Coley and Maria Cadenas are both actively working to bring attention to the needs of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals, especially those of color. Coley is the director of Adult Services for Diverse and Resilient, which encourages the healthy development of LGBT individuals. It also runs the Connexus program, which promotes unity in Milwaukee's African-American LGBT community. Cadenas is the executive director of the Cream City Foundation, which helps fund initiatives towards social change for the LGBT community. Coley explained to Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce how the broader state of race relations in Milwaukee gets reflected within the LGBT community.
I mean, people of color in this society, you know, have to deal with being marginalized. And it doesn't matter if you're, you know, what your sexual orientation might be. So we're always struggling to be heard on many different fronts. So, you know, the LGBT community is not in a vacuum. It's no different than any other broad-based community. So, yes, we do suffer marginalization within that community. There is racism in the LGBT community. But, you know, as I also was saying, that our biggest issues are not so much within our community, but with the broader society and getting the civil rights that, you know, our community, you know, needs to in order to live a healthier life.
I think Brenda made a very good point. I mean, the fact is that when we're looking at our communities and communities of color, and the gay and transgender community is just a microcosm of the general community. So when we're talking about race, we're really talking about the general community, period. There is no exception to that rule or discussion. And we're talking about creating communities that are fair and equitable for everybody. We all want respect and we all want access, regardless whether you be gay or straight, and regardless whether you be black or Latino or white.
Well, Brenda, why is it necessary then to have an organization like Connexus, which you run in a collaboration with Diverse and Resilient, that focuses specifically on the needs of the African-American LGBT community here in Milwaukee?
Well, you know, groups always need to caucus together, you know, and so we're no different than anyone else. We have issues and concerns and perspectives that generally speak to our own experiences, and we need time to be able to talk about those experiences and also to present programs and perspectives from that viewpoint. I mean, so we look at the world through, you know, different lenses, and for us there are no differences. So we're looking at race, we're looking at gender, we're looking at sexual orientation, and all those things are within us and really you know, inform our own viewpoint. And we need a chance to caucus, you know, around those things and to bring our perspective to the forefront.
Well, do you see that there are needs that the African-American LGBT community has that also coincide with, say, specific needs that the Hispanic LGBT community has? Or are these, again, as you were saying before, just the needs of the broader community as a whole?
I think it's not about trying to see who's more oppressed or less oppressed. That's not the right question. The real question is, are there needs, period? And are there disparities being faced by communities of color? And we know statistically by national data, again, regardless of sexual orientation, that that is the case, that there is definitely more disparities for people of color, period. And what we're saying is that for people of color who happen to be gay or transgender, these disparities are, again, present and sometimes exacerbated because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. So it's not saying that the Latino community is better off or the black community is better off. What we're talking about is that the communities of color in general need support and are facing oppression from the general community, period. It's not just from a specific community itself.
I mean, there are definitely differences, you know, and these differences, some are significant, some are not. But, you know, overall, you know, what Maria is saying is that, you know, we're not trying to figure out who is more oppressed or who is not. You know, oppression falls on us differently. We don't have as much of the language barrier or oppression around our language as I would assume that the Latino and Latina community has. So, you know, there are differences, but they're both significant within within our own communities and cultures.
Well, so then where do these racial disparities and inequities then come into play for the LGBT community?
I think the best person to answer that would probably be Brenda. They've done a lot of research in the disparities in regards to health specifically. So if you look at health, you have higher rates of depression, you have higher rates of suicide attempts, alcoholism, use of tobacco products, and all of those affect the quality of life that people are able to lead. And when you're looking at creating a fair and healthy family of having a prosperous life, you're not thinking about, well, am I going to get fired if I come out at work? You're not thinking about, am I going to be kicked out of my home if I identify as transgender? You know, all these issues are things that put pressure in the day-to-day activities that gay and transgender people live with. But in addition, if you add the issue of race that is something prevalent in the Milwaukee area, then it adds another layer of things to have to deal with and have to process as an individual and then as a general community, which one of the things that brings to mind is the idea of the role of philanthropy. And how do we put in the dollars and the community effort on making sure that we have these discussions, making sure that we're funding programs that are creating a different dialogue? And for that, there's a huge issue of racial equity discussion within the general philanthropy sector, including in the funding sector for the gay and transgender community foundations like Cream City Foundation.
Maria and I come from this from different angles. I mean, because she is looking to really fund these initiatives within our community, and we're looking at what needs to be funded in the, within the community. So, you know, we have huge health disparities in our community, and they're not based on the fact that people say, well, don't everyone have these kind of health disparities? And we sort of operate around this theory, what we call minority stress, which are the stress of oppression and discrimination. And for LGBT people, and then LGBT people of color, there are multiple stressors. So we're dealing not only with sexual orientation, but the stress of being discriminated due to our race, you know, due to our gender. These are multiple stressors that we have to, that are complex, that we have to really figure out in order to live a better and healthier life, you know, getting programs that are going to address these issues.
Well, so is that the solution, to have programs? Are these the solutions?
The solution is the end of discrimination. The solution is civil rights for our community. That's the solution.
But how do we get there?
I think there's no one clear answer to that. The real question is, what are we doing to get there? And there's many approaches, many strategies. It takes people like Brenda putting together a group that can coalesce a community to talk and build each other up and create the infrastructure to do the work on the ground, just like it takes an advocacy organization to make sure that the issues are being discussed at the government level. And it takes a funder, an economic arm like Cream City Foundation, who's out there trying to make sure that we have funding to make sure that all this work can take place. So it's different strategies, but all ultimately with the same focus, with the same lens of equity, of a fair and respectful community. I think when we launched the Gay Neighbor campaign, the goal was simply that we need to start at the discussion point. We need to start at being able to bring it to the table and talk about it. The fact is that we have gay families in Wisconsin. There's no question about that. The fact is that we have transgender neighbors in Wisconsin. No question about that. And the fact is a lot of them happen to be people of color. And so when we have those discussions at the table, we can really look and analyze the problem, come up with creative solutions. There's not going to be a one solution for the problem. I think it comes from the intent and the purposefulness of understanding and respecting the different strategies to create a bigger whole.
I think that our health disparities are really the result of discrimination and oppression. And if we eliminate that, I think that you'll find a much healthier community. But with that being said, we're not going to wait for discrimination or oppression to be over before we get our community healthy and in shape to deal with these issues. So, you know, what Maria was talking about, these programs and funders and discussions and ways to caucus and giving people information, you know, these are the things that are going to get us in shape in order to for us to have a healthy, better life.
How do you think that the racial divide that arguably exists here in Milwaukee impacts the LGBT community in terms of this discrimination?
Well, I mean, it's not a vacuum. So we are discriminated against based on our race. You know, we have the health disparities. We often have trouble finding jobs. We're segregated in communities. Access to health care is limited. Joblessness. These things that are affecting our racial community also affect us as African-Americans. And then you put on the fact that we are significantly oppressed beyond in regards to our sexual orientation impacts our ability to take care of ourselves. These things impact our ability to do that. And that's what we're dealing with, setting up programs and solutions so that discrimination does not impact us and that we, you know, have more psychological independence in order to be able to move forward, you know, in our big and healthy lives.
Just what you're working toward with Kinexus.
But that's exactly what we're working toward, towards Kinexus, you know, so that we can put out the message that we're okay, to be proud of who we are, and that we have the right and the ability to live big lives. One of our major mission points is to create a visible and viable African-American LGBT community that really already exists, but we need to increase the visibility of that community. And because of oppression and discrimination, the community has been suffering from marginalization, but groups like this is really bringing our viewpoint to the forefront.
Maria, you looked like you wanted to add something there.
No, I think that those are great strategies. I think that as a community, we all have a role and a lot of responsibility that we create a thriving community. And in Milwaukee, we face a lot of challenges, but there's also a lot of opportunities. Milwaukee has a great opportunity to really stand out as a leader that welcomes everybody, that creates welcoming, thriving communities. And again, I do believe that part of it is the discussion, putting it on the table, making sure that we bring awareness to the topic, and making sure that we realize that we're all connected more than we would like to think. It's not just about people of color and white people and et cetera. It's about all of us as a community working together to create that thriving community that we're looking forward to.
How much of the conversation also needs to just be about bringing awareness to the fact that there are LGBT individuals who are of color? I wonder how much of the stereotype still exists that people think of a gay individual and they immediately in their head might be thinking of a white gay male.
Right. I think that's a huge hurdle to go over. One of the reasons that we're committed to the Gay Neighbor Campaign is because it does showcase real families from the area, from Milwaukee and Waukesha, making sure that people understand that a gay individual or transgender individual is not the stereotypical image that they have in their head. And it really is everybody. When we did the campaign, one of the goals was to make sure that we represented the community as much as we could. And the website has many more stories of many other people. Mm-hmm. I think when you're talking about stereotypes, it goes back to the number one question about having the discussion on the table, making sure that we're talking to each other as neighbors, making sure that we're going to a barbecue together, going to a baseball game together, or kids go to school together. Make sure that they talk to each other, have play dates, you know, that happens all the time. And as important as it is, the work that Brenda's talking about is integral to make sure that that discussion flourishes, because we're talking about creating healthy individuals. Those healthy individuals need to thrive in a welcoming community. And that goes back to public opinion stereotypes that are held to make sure that those oppressive factors are reduced and eliminated ultimately.
I mean, one of the opportunities that the LGBT community has here in Milwaukee is really to teach, you know, the larger community how to get along, because within these identities, everyone exists. Our community is very diverse in regards to class, race, professions. We have it all in our community. And so we can really teach the broader community how to work together and how to be together. And we're doing that. So we have a lot to teach society.
Well, Maria Cadenas and Brenda Coley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting us.
Maria Cadenas is the executive director of the Cream City Foundation, and Brenda Coley is the director of adult services for the Milwaukee-based Diverse and Resilient. They spoke with Stephanie Lecce. You can find links and more information about both of these organizations working on behalf of the LGBT community, as well as the Gay Neighbor Campaign, all on our website, wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Coming up next, exploring segregation and separation in Milwaukee's visual arts community. We'll return with that conversation in just a moment. This is Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio.